cool. Hi, I'm Allie Dash, and I'm here with actress and voice actress Janet Barney. Here with us today. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, Allie, I'm delighted to be here. I don't know why I acted surprised when you said that I was an actress and a voice actress. I acted like those were two pieces of news to me that I wasn't aware of, but what a wonderful surprise. I guess those are things. What did I black out on the rest of my career? No, but thanks for having me. It's great being here.
Thank you. Congratulations on all of the success with The Legend of Korra. What was it like being on the show, and what was your favorite part of voicing Korra, and did you connect with her a lot?
Listen, that's a lot of great questions. I'm going to start with, what was it like? It was a dream come true. It still is. It's great to be a part of a project that has this life that sort of extends above and beyond the airtime, you know, the amount that it actually aired. And I knew that going in. I felt very, very lucky because I was a fan of Avatar. And so I knew, like, oh, this is a thing that people never stop loving, it seems. And if Korra is anywhere close to that, you know, this will be something that, you know, parents show their kids. And it's definitely turned out to be the case. I mean, I think that Mike and Brian, the creators of the show, of course, are just wonderful storytellers. They don't pull any punches. They don't talk down to their audience. You know, they know that even though they were doing something for a kids' network, they took advantage of the opportunity to just tell a story that anyone would love, you know? So that's what's so cool about doing this cons, is that I get to meet people of literally all ages. And so it's a great opportunity to connect with people. And I did really connect, speaking of connect, with Korra from the very beginning. I remember when I saw an image of what she looked like, I was like, oh, I'll never get this. Like, she's beautiful. She's Well, listen, I mean, you should, like, if they were live casting, you could play Korra or Asami. But, you know, I mean, I was like, she's so strong, and she's, you know. And then when I read the script, and I was like, oh, she, like, is defensive when she doesn't need to be, and she's sarcastic, and she's kind of, you know, she hides her fear behind, like, bravado, and she's flawed. Then I was like, maybe I stand a chance. So that, you know, I connected with her. And it was all the stuff. I remember season one, you know, people who loved Aang were so frustrated by Korra because she was so headstrong and just the opposite of Aang. And I was like, dudes, I don't know what to tell you. Like, that's one of the things I love about her. Not because it doesn't drive me crazy. It does. But because that, to me, makes her more relatable, and almost the rest of it, I don't want to say attainable because we're not quite to the place yet where we can bend elements as humans. But there's something about that that's very powerful to me. I prefer, you know, heroes who are flawed. Yeah.
I agree 100%. Like, that's amazing. One of the things I love about Korra is that she's powerful, but also, you know, has her flaws and is relatable. So that's amazing. And then I love how widespread the fandom is, like you said. I love that, like, kids can watch it, but then parents and grown-ups can watch it. And I love that. So has there been, like, what has been any encounters with fans that have really stood out where the show had affected them very personally and deeply?
I mean, this sounds like a brag. It's totally not. Again, this is all credit goes to Mike and Brian and Nickelodeon and just, you know, the staff of writers and animators for really making the show sing. But being kind of an ambassador for the show for people like, you know, Dante Bosco and people like me who do a lot of cons, we sort of stand in for all those people around us, you know, who can't be here. But anyway, to go back to the bragging part, I feel like that happens every con multiple times because the story is so intense and deep, and seasons 3 and 4 are so profound and scary, and, you know, there's just a lot that the show dealt with that people have had personal experience with. And so, you know, having people tell me that they came out to their parents through watching Korra, or having PTSD and watch it, or PTS, some people like to take off the D. I do, because disorder feels to me, it's like, it's a syndrome. It's not a disorder. There's nothing wrong about having stress after you have a traumatic incident. So I'll say PTS. But, you know, people who have PTS and feeling like they weren't alone and feeling like, oh, this isn't something that I have to be ashamed of. I'm seeing this depicted in a show I already loved. And some people found it that way. You know, someone would say, hey, you should check this show out. I know what you've been going through. So to me, that's just, it's like, it really is food for the soul. And that's one of the reasons that once you start doing cons, it's really hard to stop, because I would love to be like, oh, it's just selfless or whatever. But it feels so good good to take that in and have people say, you know, hey, we're part of this community that is more than just entertaining. It's like helping people know who they are and feel good about who they are on multiple levels, you know?
That's awesome. And I saw that you host your own podcast called the JV Club. And as someone who, you know, I was extremely awkward growing up, you know, very nerdy. And so, like, seeing you have this podcast where, like, I'll be, like, talking about, you know, being awkward as a teenager and then entering adulthood. And, you know, I still feel like that awkward teenager.
Yeah.
And I think that's so powerful, you know, to have these, like, all these women that are, you know, that so many of us can relate to. I think that's incredible.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's the thing where, you know, people ask a lot of the time, I think, too, when you're at cons, especially because so many creative people are drawn to Comic-Cons. They're the, you know, the artists, the mathematicians, but who find art in math, you know, just that, the brains. And people say, you know, I'm interested in acting, or I'm interested in voiceover, I'm interested in animating, and what should I do? And most of us who do voiceover, we always say take an improv class, because it's just a great way to get more comfortable in your own skin and to allow yourself to fail and be okay with that. But also doing what you love. I mean, it's such a cliche, but it's like, you can't always worry about what someone else is looking for, because I started the podcast because I wanted to have those conversations, and I was hoping that other people would like them. And luckily I was right, you know, and so it's just continued to be this, you know, 6-year love affair where I don't make any money. It's not a, you know, I don't do any kind of business in the podcast other than just hear these amazing stories from people who are so willing to open up and share their awkward moments and be vulnerable in a way that I think, again, kind of makes everybody feel like, oh, we're all part of something. It's not, and you know, these are kind of crazy times. I guess everyone who's any age feels like they've lived in crazy times, but things are a little bananas right now in some ways. And so I really get a lot out of those moments where it's like, oh, I connected with this person and you know, now I can share that and it feels like it's helping something. I don't know whether it is or not. I'm glad it's out there, I guess.
That's awesome. No, I definitely agree. Like, it's, you know, it makes us feel less alone. It's very inspiring. And so being here at AwesomeCon, are there any fandoms that are your favorite? Like, what are some of your favorite fandoms?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. It's funny. I just came off shooting something, and so I'm in that space. This happens with some cons where I don't know that who's even going to be there until I'm here. And I just got here and, like, had my first signing, and I didn't look to see where all, like, when you walk through the back, there's a little piece of tape on the back showing you who's in each booth, but you can't see who's signing. You can just sort of see, like, blobs. You can see blobs signing. And so I don't know. And so I didn't even know that my friend Phil Lamar was going to be here until I realized we were two booths down from each other. So I have to, like, dive into who's here and what's going on. Now, that being said, I love Orphan Black. Tatiana is a total hero of mine. I love, oh God, there's so much stuff I watch. I love, Counterpart. JK is on that, and he's just brilliant. Anything that's like alternate reality or like weird sci-fi universe stuff. The only thing that I haven't dipped into is, like, I haven't really gotten into the new Star Trek. So I know that people are talking about that. I gotta dip a toe and see what that's all about.
Very cool. And Al here is a huge Entourage fan.
Yeah. Oh,
loved it.
Right on.
What was your favorite experience working on Entourage?
It was just really fun. And to be honest with you, the thing that I was the most worried about was I just didn't know what those guys were going to be like, because obviously, like, on the show, they're kind of ridiculous characters in a good way, you know. But also, I was like, oh, it's such a boys' club. I don't know. Thank God I don't have to take my shirt off, etc. But I loved them. They were great to work with, and even the guys that I didn't get to do scenes with, who were around in the makeup trailer and stuff, made me feel so welcome. And so it was a really fun show to work on. Yeah, I love Constance Zimmer. Connie Zimmer is just another hero of mine, and I've had a chance to podcast her too, and I loved her character. Like, I just thought she was a total, she's just such a great ball buster.
That's awesome. And I know you do a lot of voiceover. So has there been anyone that has influenced you a lot in the voiceover community or someone that you admire a lot?
Oh my gosh, that is an endless amount of people. I would say, well, Gray Delisle is a dear friend of mine, and she's definitely someone who I still just look at in complete awe. And I actually do, I do voiceover, but I do more on-screen stuff. So when I see people like her or like huge, you know, video game stars who just blow my mind, I'm so impressed by how they, I can't believe I'm saying this, but like how they take care of their instrument. But it really is a big deal. Like doing the Korra video game, I lost my voice and stuff because the screaming and then this. And so there are people like just even talking to people again at cons or you know in the voiceover booth saying like, how do you do what you do? And they really have conditioned themselves. It's like an Olympic sport. You know, they've really figured it out.
Very cool. So if you can say that you are Janet Barney, what's that? Oh, that's right. I actually just recently watched the episode you were in of How I Met Your Mother a couple weeks ago. What was your experience working with the cast and being on the show?
Again, that was another great show where, you know, sometimes when you do guest stars on stuff, you're very aware that it's this very tight-knit family, and they're great people, but they are can be very insular, or they have, you know, they're used to being on a show forever, and they have people coming in and out. That was another show where I came in, and they made me feel like I had joined the cast, and I was there for a week, and I still felt, like, just so included. Neil and I became really good friends and, you know, made a show called Neil's Puppet Dreams together that's, like, us with Henson Company puppets and is still, you know, one of my favorite people to date. So if that gives you any indication of, like, what a warm set that was, it was really fun. And it was fun because the writer had known... Somehow he knew that I actually played bass, and so he wrote that into the script after I got cast. He was like, I think I'm going to turn you into a bass player. And I was like, huh? I'm okay. So, yeah, that was cool.
That's awesome. That's really cool to hear. That's very awesome. And I'm Janet Barney, and then what you're known for, and then say, and I'm on Below the Belt show.
Okay.
And also, anything else to plug?
Oh yeah, I should plug Stan.
Oh yes,
for sure.
Yes, definitely.
Cool. Okay. Wait. What's a Below the Plug?
What below is it?
Below the Belt plug. That's what you said. Below the Belt show. Below the Belt show. Okay, great. Hey, it's Janet Varney. I am known as the voice of Korra. I am on the IFC show Stand Against Evil, which is also available on Hulu. We're going into our season 3 this year, and you're watching the Below the Belt show.